Because this is an attack from the devil, amen, that's trying to take away what God has for you today, amen? Because the message is, why do we pray? You want to take me down just a little bit there? I might get a little excited and start shouting a little bit. Why do we pray? How much quality time have we given to prayer? I'll say any day. I was going to say lately, but any time. Do we give our... Where do we place our priorities in praying? Where do we go to pray? Do we just realize that we can pray anywhere and anyhow we can just because, you know, God loves you, amen? Do you know he loves you? Too many times we get carried away and caught up into trying to be, I'll just say, politically correct for a lack of other terms with God. We're trying to be so formal that we don't have, that we're missing what God's doing. There we go. That was the first one. All right, we get that up there. I'll give you a second to read that while I mumble on along. Why do we pray? How much quality time do we give to our prayer life? Do we give quality time to our prayer life? How many parents we got in here? Any parents we got in here? Do you realize how important it is to give quality time to your children? Do you realize how important it is for us to give quality time to our spouses, our friends? You know, if you don't give quality time, if you're just spending time, little Bert's, it's like, okay, I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to. Have you ever prayed just because you were supposed to? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, yes, 5 and 7, to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. And I know sometimes we get caught up in trying to figure this out when he says to pray without ceasing. Well, how could you possibly just pray all the time? Well, it's keeping your mentality, your attitude, your physical and spiritual mentality on God all day long. When you're going through your day-to-day in works and different things you got to do, have a mindset of what we are supposed to be about, our Christianity, our Christian life. Have an attitude of saying, Lord, how about showing me how to do this? I mean, sometimes we get carried away and we don't realize that we can ask God, Lord. You know, when somebody asks us a question at work or at play or wherever you might be, somebody asks us a question and a lot of times, boy, we're quick to come back and give them our opinion. Man, we should stop and evaluate what the question was and pray and ask God right there, Lord, what would be the best answer for me to give this person because they're seeking. How many of you know there's a lot of folks seeking out? They're seeking wisdom from God. And as they seek out, and they're going to, if we prepared ourselves to be used by God, guess who they're going to seek out? Those who are prepared. If you're prepared and then they find, well, this person reads his Bible, let me ask him a question. And instead of just giving them our opinion, we go and tell them, this is what the Word says. This is what the Bible says about this situation. It'd be great if we would come to the realization of knowing what the Word is in every situation. That would be great, wouldn't it? If we all could just come and tap in to the source. Well, guess what? We can. Say Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has given us the access. And when we back up, instead of just saying things for saying things, you know the Word says that we're accountable for every idle word that comes out of our mouth? And we're saying things all the time. But maybe we need to stop and listen. Say listen to what God's saying and what He wants to do. Excuse me just a minute. In other words, we should always be in touch. Say always. We should always be in touch with God. Let our thoughts be on God. Let our thoughts be on the kingdom of God. That's why the Word tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. Because when we're doing what God calls us to do out of obedience to His Word, out of submission to wanting to be a good child of the Father, before, how many of you just know you want to hear this one day? Well done, thou good and come on, say faithful one more time. Too many of us are flippy floppies. We're just making noise. We're not faithful. We just kind of go and come where we want and do what we want. And then we say, wait a minute, Lord, I want to be your good and faithful servant. Well, you know, it takes being faithful. It takes being diligent. You know what? God gives more to those who want more. When you get closer to God, he's going to draw closer to you. You know the scriptures. Do we have an open line of communication with our Father? Or do we just seem to have a bad connection? Have you ever had a bad connection? I mean, have you ever gotten a phone call? I mean, they're getting better these days, but have you ever gotten that phone call and you go, hello, and you can hear them, but they can't hear you? And you're like, yeah, I'm here. Hello. What's wrong with this stupid smartphone? Is it stupid or smart? We get carried away, and sometimes we got a bad connection. How many of you know it's time to stop and back up? You know, when I get a bad connection and they can't hear me, what I do? I hang up. You know, one thing about cell phones that you used to could hang up with attitude. Wham! You can't do that no more. This is as best you can get. You can't give attitude. We got to stop and back up and get reconnected. Redial. Get back. Say I need some reconnecting. If we got a bad connection, we need to stop and back up and get reconnected. Do we think this is what I've heard many people say this numerous times, and you've probably heard it too. People are saying like, well, my prayers I don't have as much authority with God as you do. My prayers are kind of like ineffective because I don't have the, what? Somebody lied to you. His name is Satan. He's the devil and he's a liar and he's the father of lies. If you have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, if you have decided from down in your heart, mind, and soul to follow Jesus, then your connection is just as good as the Pope. Well, he probably, I'll say, of good preachers. Some of y'all caught that one. We know he's not connected. But the problem is too many of us are relying on somebody else's connection. My mom, my dad, my brother, there's a holy man at church. He's so good. Ooh, his prayers always come true. I'm going to get him to pray for me. How many of you know his prayer is not going to get to heaven any better than your prayer for you? You see, too many of us are looking for somebody else to do it for us. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross so that the veil was ripped from top to bottom, which that is the holy place, was opened up so that each and every one of us have access to the Father. You don't have to go to the high priest. You don't have to go. You can go right to the King of Kings. You can go right to the Son of God. You can go, Holy Spirit, take us in. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to take you in? So what we got to do is prepare ourselves. Get ready. Turn on Jesus Christ. Say turn off. Turn off the world. You have the power. You have the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. Let me say, if you've given your life to Christ, if you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and he died on the third day and he rose again, if you believe that. Now, not just hearing it. You know, sometimes we hear that different people have done special and wonderful things. But do you really believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord of all? Say amen. Is Jesus Christ Lord of all? Do we have that open line of communication? Do you know that the devil is a liar? Oh, he's called out to some of us real clear. Did God say? Just like he told Adam, he don't have no tricks. Do you know that? Satan doesn't have any new tricks. He uses the same ones over and over because we're easily deceived. Why have we been so easily deceived? Why have we walked away from God because the devil said, look at this. Woo, look at this pretty thing. And we go, huh, what? I think all humans are ADD. We get distracted so easy. All it takes is somebody speaking in tongues, laying hands. Boy, we're running over there. Oh. Mm. And the word says in the end times there'll be many. Say many. that'll rise up and deceive many. Are we being deceived? Are we looking all around for the what's going on over there? Or are we looking inside? Are we looking inside of us? Do we realize why do we pray? Why are we praying? Well, I need this and I need that. Sometimes we pray just for negotiation sake. Lord, I need an extra $100 this week to pay my bills. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to have the extra money. Then we get serious. Oh, I need a new car. My car's breaking down. I'll give you a bicycle. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all of the things we think we need that we are missing what we truly have available. Say available. The things that are truly available. All these things shall be what? Added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Too many Christian people this day. We're following, we're seeking, we're trying to get all of the stuff. Oh, Lord. We're negotiating with God. Lord, I just need. What is the most important thing in our lives? Think about that right now. What is the most important thing in your life? Now, I would say most of us in here that are over 50 have come to the realization that these things aren't worthy. They're not worth it. They're not worth going after this stuff because it'll all be burned away. It'll all burn away. What's most important? Boy, all of a sudden after you get to a certain age, you start realizing that health is important. How many of you, watch this, how many of you wished, okay, I'm talking to the over 50 crowd, okay? Y'all that's not 50 yet, y'all just pay attention and watch. How many of you wished you would have took better care of your body and health when you were younger? Anybody, come on, be honest, raise your hand, show them. They know, we all know. Now, the problem is we still know today and we still don't do it. Give me the hamburger. Give me the fried chicken. What? What is wrong with us? We're still seeking after the stuff that won't satisfy, that won't bring health to our life and mind. What is wrong with us? I'll just say brain damage. Many of us are just hard-headed because we've been doing something for so long we think it's okay. We need to change. Thank you. All of this stuff won't satisfy you. And as you get older, you realize that most important thing is health. And how many of you need a little peace right now? There's some peace needers right here. Father, you see the people that are needing peace in their heart, in their mind, in their life, in their situations. The Lord says, this day I have come that you might have peace. That I come today that you might have peace, that if you will grab onto it and take it with you everywhere you go, allow the Spirit of God to overcome and overpower your mind. And when the devil comes in and starts trying to corrupt and cause turmoil in your life, rebuke him. Say, be gone in Jesus' name. For all authority has been given to my Father. And he spoke peace to my life. How many of you ready for that peace? How many of you ready for that same kind of health in your life? Health. Lord, speak health to people's lives right now, Lord. We come against the spirit of wickedness, the spirit of deception, the spirit that's trying to destroy your body, the body of Christ. What is most important in our life? Where are our priorities? What do we put prioritizing things? What do we put at the top of our thing? What would somebody think is the most important thing in your life if they was to take your life and examine it? And say, wow, look, this is what Carol puts on the top of her agenda to do. I picked on my wife, so everybody else here would be, you know, I'm not picking on you. What's the most important thing in your life? Well, I got to get a house. I got to get a car. I got to get a money. I got to get a retirement. I got to have a 401k. All those things will come if we seek God first, if we put the kingdom of God first. Watch this. Chronicles 4 and 7 says, but we have this in earthen vessels, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. Do you realize that God is all powerful? Do you know that he can do all things? Do you know it's not about what you think you can do, but it's about what God can do in and through you? Amen? Now, listen to this, because this is, I see, this is where a lot of people are today. Watch. We are hard pressed on every side. If you're a Christian, yet not crushed. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God is so good. Where the enemy means it for bad, God means it for good. Are you going through some hard, bad times right now? That's okay. Guess what? God's meaning it for good. Do you realize he's got a plan? Say he's got a plan. Woo, turn it around and see the plan. Watch what God wants to do in and through you. Don't sit back and, well, I'm just going through all kind of problems. No, God, you don't love me. Let me go to this other church, shake my head, anoint me, put some oil on me. Oh, hallelujah. And then we go out and do it, everything we want to do instead of following Jesus. All we got to do is learn to follow. Say follow. Follow Jesus. Why? Say why. Why are we praying? Why are we praying? Is it important to you to pray? We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Hallelujah. Are you confused sometimes? Do you not really understand what God's doing? But, hallelujah. You're not in despair because you know God's got it in his hand. How many of you know he's got it? Oh, if we realize that he's got it, then we won't fret. We won't worry. We won't doubt. We won't fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He's not going to bring you to a place. If you're fearful, then we're not in God. What? Yeah, you might get scared. I've got scared before. But I also know that if I'm fearful, then I'm full of fear. And I'm not full of Jesus. So empty out the fear and pour in Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, when you get fearful, do you have we read our Bibles? Do we know when the enemy comes in like a flood? What do? You fill it up with Jesus. You raise up a standard and you say, God, you're my king. You're my Lord. Lord, I don't know. Yet though you slay me, I will trust and serve you. No matter what's going on, I'm going to serve. I'm not going to give up. Don't give up. Say, don't give up. Oh, you got to look at somebody and tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. You're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. You're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And when you don't pray, when we don't pray, we become unsuccessful. We become unfruitful. We become powerless. Excuse me. I got a little phlegm still left from last week. It's hanging around. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. Be healed, body. Say, be healed, body. Come on, somebody else needs to do that too. Right there. Touch yourself where your infirmity is right now. Lord, heal me. Heal me, Lord. Break it up, oh God. Make it right, Father. We trust in you, oh God, to bring healing to this body. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't give up. Just keep on going. Perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Not struck down, but not destroyed. When are we praying? When we're not praying, we are unfruitful. We are powerless. Watch what it says in Mark chapter 4 and 19. You've heard it many times. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for the things enter in and choke out the word. And it becomes unfruitful. What's choking out your word? What's choking out? What's making us unfruitful? The world, the cares, the desires, all of these things. Seek ye what first? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. In other words, God becomes unimportant to us because we don't really believe his word. When we are not producing God's fruit, it's more like a birthday party. We go to God instead of really praying and interceding for what God wants, what we need to, our eyes to be open to see what God wants to do. We go as a birthday party. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And we make our wish. Now, the word does say he'll give you the desires of your heart, but it's after our heart gets changed. To desire him first. Do you see the importance of listening to scripture and reading it in context and not trying just to do something for doing something's sake? But I realize that it's not about trying to just please God, because God loves you. Too many of us are running around trying to do just what we think God wants us to do. Now, our Father, for your Father, watch what it says here. Or watch this. Our prayers become just good gestures. You know, let's say a prayer. We tried everything else, so now let's pray. Let's ask God to do something. Lord, I need you to do something in my life. Lord, come on, Lord, do something. And we just praying as a gesture instead of truly interceding and getting God's attention and hearing, say hearing, his voice instead of ours. Oh, my goodness. Are we ready? Are we ready for what God already has ready for you? Are you ready? Did you hear me in case you didn't hear that? Are you ready for what God already has ready for you? I mean, do you know he's got some stuff for you? He's got stuff. He's got things. He's got life. He's got peace. He's got rest. He's got everything you're in need of. God already has it ready for you. Are you ready to pick it up? How many of y'all ready to pick it up? Just let me see. Come on. I'm going to get your attention this morning. You don't want to fall asleep here. Are we ready to pick it up? God's got some stuff ready for you. Stop whining about what you don't have. Find out and pray and seek what God's will is and watch what he'll bring your way. Instead of going, Lord, I don't have this and I don't want this, you'll be going, wow, thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I needed that. Oh, Jesus, you're so good to me. How many of you can honestly look up right now and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life? Come on, look around. Look around and see all the people that know who God is, that are thankful for what God has already done, what he's going to do. Are you thankful for that? Thank you, Jesus. Did you give him glory? Did you give him praise? Oh, well, we're just asking for the wrong thing sometimes. Are you all ready? Are you ready, Lord? Lord, I need a retirement fund, Lord. I need a bigger bank account, Lord. I need to win the lottery, God. Lord, if you watch this one, I like this one. This is I guarantee you. Do we have some honest people in here? Okay, my hand is up. All right, because I'm gonna tell you, I have bought lottery tickets. Anybody ever bought lottery tickets? Okay, all right, not now. Don't raise your hand. Okay, because this is the one that's tricky. I've heard this, Lord, if you just let me win the lottery, I'll tithe. I have to tell you right away, you ain't never going to win. Otherwise, you'd be tithing now. You'd be saying, I'm preparing for the well that overflows that only God can give. I would be prepared. Anyway, Lord, I need to win. Lord, I need all kinds of new toys in my life. Lord, I need, here you go. It was a good one. I need an extreme, vacation. How many of y'all need a vacation? I need a cruise, Lord. Let me tell you what. The Word of God says that his burden is light. And when we're following Jesus, and when we're doing his will each and every day, man, you can't live a better life. I've watched people go on vacation, come home, and say, oh my gosh, I need a vacation from my vacation. It was so terrible. We had to stand in line. We had to drive 5,000 miles. We spent $89 million on gas. Whew. Boy, I hope you had fun. Yeah, we had a blast. I got pictures to prove it. Look what I ate. I ate this, I ate that. Let me show you. And look, there's a mountain. How many of y'all got pictures of a mountain? Don't raise your hand. I found out a long time ago when I take a picture of a mountain, I want to put some people in it. Because later on in life, you're going to go, what mountain is that? I don't know. It's just a picture we decided to take. It was beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I need a vacation. Maybe someone in here just maybe needs some health and peace in their life. James chapter 4:2 says, you don't have because you don't ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Now, you know, I mean, sometimes we got to back up and look up, what the heck does amiss mean, Lord? And you got to look at it, says incorrectly is what it actually means, with the wrong motives. You see, we're asking God to, again, I need a car, I need a house, I need money, I need retirement. We're asking with the wrong motives. What we need to be praying for is God's will to be done in our life. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how many times I've had folks come right down here and I get ready to pray for them. And I like to do this. I say, what do you want prayer for? Well, I need prayer for my son. He got in jail and I just need to pray that he gets out. And I say, boy, I hate that when people come and ask me for that prayer. Because just maybe God's intervening and just maybe God put your child in jail so that they would straighten up and quit misbehaving and start doing what's right. And maybe they'll spend a little time being sober enough to figure out what life's really about. Have you ever been arrested? Don't raise your hand. Half the church. Yeah, I went to. Have you ever been arrested by the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit says, stop it. You see, just maybe we need to stop and pay attention and see what God's saying to the church today. Amen? Don't ask amiss. We're asking for things to make us happy that won't make us happy. How many of you have tried to fill your life with things that you thought was going to make you happy? Oh, if I could just get a boat, a car, a motorbike, if I had this, I had land, if I had property, if when I do this, then I'm a... And then you end up selling it because after you bought the new house, then you found out that the wood was rotten, the toilets were leaking, the grass needs cutting. Huh? Anybody? Wow, this wasn't such a blessing. And the Lord said, I know I had a better one in store for you if you'd listen. We didn't listen. We got to listen to what God is saying to the church today. Watch what it says in James chapter 5 and 13. James talks about prayer a little bit here. And here's what he says. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Are you suffering? Do we have some sufferers today? Are you going through some things that you're suffering with? Is that you? Raise your hand. Amen. Right now. Because the Lord says, then you got to pray. So start praying immediately when you leave here today. Start praying. If you're suffering, pray. I mean, yeah, you know, you can ask for help for prayer from your friends, but if you're suffering, pray. How many of you know it's time for us to quit spending so much of our time and effort in not praying or doing just giving God gestures? Lord, you know, Lord, the word says you know our hearts. And Lord, you know that I need whatever. I'm done. Where is it, Lord? Sometimes we think we get it immediately. Too many of us have had the drive up mentality for too long. We got to realize that God is awesome. He's sovereign. He will do what he needs to be done. How many of you know he'll do what he needs to get done? And sometimes he'll make me suffer. Have you suffered for Jesus? In case you didn't realize that you didn't think that's scriptural, did you know that Jesus suffered? He went to the cross. Do you think he was, oh boy, this is great, guys. Can you put that nail a little deeper? No, he suffered. It hurt. Sometimes we don't understand that we have to go through some stuff. If anyone is tearful, let him sing praises. Hallelujah. When you realize that God's on the throne and you come to church and you start celebrating, sing hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? What does hallelujah mean? Come on, praise the Lord. That's what we're saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Instead of just saying it, praise him, give him glory. We can say praise the Lord, but not really praise him. Too many of us are, again, wanting to just do the gesture. Oh, if I come to church and sing all of the songs and smile, I'm going to get blessed. How many of you know it's not about the words that are coming out your mouth, but it's about the words that's coming out your heart? You see, because we did. How many of us, don't raise your hand, okay? How many of us just say, I mean, you ever talk to somebody and they just got 1,000 words to say, and you're sitting there going, what the heck are they talking about? I mean, you're like, by the time the conversation's over, you have no idea what y'all truly talked about. But they had a lot to say. I often wonder what's going on in their mind. All kind of confusion. Oh my goodness. Look at who's talking. God bless you. Watch this. He says, if any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're sick, I got some Earl somewhere. Yeah, I knew Earl was here. If you're sick, you call for the elders of the church. If you're sick, you call for the elders of your church. If you're sick, you call for the elders of the church. I've been homesick for 3 weeks. Nobody's ever come and prayed for me. Did you call for the elders and say, I'm homesick? Would you come pray for me? Or did you just say, well, no, I'm going to another church. They don't love me there. I'm going to. Oh, my goodness. I hope to tell you, and I have to tell you, that guess what? Although I hear from God daily, sometimes he does not tell me that you're homesick. Most of the time, he don't tell me you're homesick. I'm praying for you. But the scripture says, when you're sick, call, say call. Okay, in case you didn't get that, you're going to call for the elders from now on, right? Don't sit home and whine, nobody came and saw me. I don't know about you, but when I'm homesick, I don't want you to come and see me. I was like, I want to sleep. Leave me alone. And sometimes I was like, when I go into doctors' offices or hospitals, I'm a little worried because, you know, if I'm in the hospital half-dressed with this little thing that ties behind you and I'm naked, and you walk in the door, I'm like, have you ever had one of those things on? Anybody? It's a little embarrassing when people walk in here. Let me pray for you, brother. No, don't touch me. Yeah. Hallelujah. I wish my brother Hilaire was here. He's homesick right now. But we went one time. There was a girl fell off a motorbike, broke her leg. Her foot's in a cast up on the end of the thing. And Hilaire, I love him to death. Put your foot up here, young man. First time you ever get to do it legally, huh? Her foot's sticking out the bed like that, and it's got a cast on him. Hilaire goes, Hallelujah, Lord. I said, Hilaire, stop. Promise you, a true story, it really happened. I was like, that's not how you pray for the broke foot. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray the prayer of faith with the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, it'll be forgiven him. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective, fervent prayer, meaning you spent time, you prayed, you actually fought through the demonic forces of this world, and you said, Lord, I'm coming into your throne room. Now, Lord, give me insight. Give me favor. Lord, give me understanding of what you want me to do. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why does it avail much? Because you got God's word in your heart. You got God's direction in your mind. You heard from the Lord. And the Bible says that God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent out to do. So if God told you something, guess what? It's done. That's how it works. Too many of us are running around praying prayers that God didn't tell us to pray. Did you say that? Yes, I did. Too many of us are praying not God's will. We're praying, Lord, I understand, but I want my will today. Lord, I want you to fix this problem for him and fix that problem for her. And Lord, I need you to do this for this person. How about truly interceding and finding out directional prayer from the throne of God? And he'll start saying, now I need you to start praying this way. We are to pray, We are to seek God's face. But don't pray meaningless prayers, repetition. Do you realize he don't want us to just say words? He wants us to mean it from our heart. And not just mean it like, oh God, I really need a car. That's not what I'm talking about. But say, Lord, what is your will? Is it for me to have a bicycle instead? Glory to God, I got a bicycle. He may want us to lose a little weight. Uh-oh. No way, that's not God, that's the devil. We'll rebuke that spirit. God might just tell you to put the garbage out for your wife. I rebuke you, Satan. When we're praying, are we listening for God's will? Are we trying to convince or provoke God into accepting or condoning our will? Are we trying to convince God, Lord, doesn't this sound good? Lord, this is a good thing. Don't you want me to do this or that? When we're not doing God's will, no matter how good it is, what is that called? Disobedience. If God told us to do something, then we say, God, I understand you want me to do that, but I'm not quite ready for that yet, so I'm going to go over here and work in the nursery, although everybody should sign up and work in the nursery. Hallelujah, right? Man, I knew I'd get an amen. And then after a week, the first little baby comes in that nursery and starts going, where's your mama? I'm going to go get your mama. I ain't paying up, putting up with this. This is free voluntarily work. I'm just here because I was wanting to do something for Jesus. Having had every ministry underneath this roof, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to punch young people out. But I didn't do it because the Lord didn't let me. I was like, come on, God, you see they need correction. How many of y'all want to correct a few kids around here, huh? I figured I'd get an amen on that. You just pray. Maybe God wants you to be the nursery worker. Maybe he's working on your patience, huh? Is he working on your patience this morning? Is he bringing you through some stuff? Hallelujah. He who is faithful in the little things will be put in charge of the big. Hallelujah. Are you trying to convince or persuade God to accept your will? Do we pray for some things like, Lord, I need you to. Lord, I need you to. Father, it's written in your word that. And we even try to bring the word of God in it to make it sound more spiritual and understanding. And we're trying to convince God that, Lord, I really need my will to be done instead of yours. Do we believe that? Oh, we know it. We know that it's not that way. But it's just like when we're eating those things that are killing us. We're just going to go ahead and do it anyway, aren't we? We're going to do the things we want to do because we want to do them. And then we're going to ask God, why did I have to deal with this? I'll just say this. Yeah, bless your mess. We have to reap what we sow. You can't plant all of these bad seeds and then expect a crop failure. Because when you sow the seeds, how many of you know, they're coming. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. So the idea is along our journey in our family and our friends, start sowing, oh, you know it. Start sowing good seeds and watch the harvest start coming in. The Bible talks about the harvest overtaking the reapers. Oh my goodness, all of a sudden you start walking in joy. Could you imagine just walking in the joy of the Lord each and every day because you have been obedient, because you've been, the word says it like this, I pray that your soul, that you prosper just as your soul prospers. When our soul is prosperous, when we have our relation, why do we pray? When we have this relation proper, when we have this connection right, guess what? These connections all will work. They will work. Oh, you might not have to be able to talk to them all the time, and that's okay. You can walk away. Say, I walk away. But they'll work. I learned a long time ago, we can't fix people. That's not our job, to try to make somebody become a Christian. We are to be a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to sow, let our light shine that they might see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. So yes, we're to do, but you're not going to cause any of the results. It's Jesus. Say it's Jesus. Do we know it's Jesus? Oh, Father, glorify your name. My goodness, I'm not going to get nowhere near. I haven't even got to my sermon yet. I'm right there, though. You're just going to have to look this up and read it all for yourself. I need you to go. This is what the book of James in 5 says in 17. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. Did you know he got hungry? Did you know he got thirsty? Did you know he had pain? Did you know he had feelings? Did you know he got his feelings hurt? Did you know he got angry? Did you know he got injured? Just like each and every one of us, Elijah was a man just with the same kind of nature we have. And he earnestly prayed that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens broke forth, and it produced fruit. I'm just going to tell you, go to 1 Kings whenever you want to and read that story of Elijah. And you'll find out some things that happened. But this is the most important part of that. Do you know God can do all things? Do you know that God can do all things? Do you know that God chose to use you? Did you know that God chose to use mankind to accomplish his will? Does he have to? He chooses to use us to glorify his name, to be a witness and a testimony everywhere we go, to every person, not just the people that you like, not just the people that you choose to be a witness to, but to every person, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all, that means everybody, even the people that you can't stand. He wants you to be a witness and a testimony. Again, don't feel like you have to save them, because it's not you saving them. It's Jesus in you. And all you're doing is showing people, let me show you the love and mercy and compassion of my Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that somebody showed you the love of Jesus? Aren't you glad that somebody told you that God loves you so much that his only begotten son, and he died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly? Aren't you glad? Oh man, good, somebody is. Hallelujah. Do we have the open line of communication with God? Do we know that he's the boss? Do you know that he's the boss, and that when we learn to hear what the words of the boss of, then we also want to submit and say, yes, sir, I want to do what you want me to do. You ever heard the story? You ever heard the story of a man had I think it was two sons or two servants. I can't remember the story right now because I didn't plan on it, but the Lord said to say it. So they had two people. And they said, the father said, go out in the field and do something. Go out in the field and I want you to work today. And he said, yes, Father, I will, which a lot of the Christians today will do. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll go out there and I'll witness for you. And he went out and he did not do it. And then the next son, he said, go out in the field and work today. He goes, nah, man, I'm not going to do it. Dad, I'm not going to do that. I'm going out and doing what I want. But the son repented after he went out, because the Holy Spirit convicted him, and he went and he did what the Father told him to do. Scripture says, which one did the Father's will? Which one? Where are we? Are we telling God, yes, Lord, I'll go, and never go? Never be a witness. Never tell somebody about Jesus. We're in Walmart, and all we want to do is complain because of the cash register broke down. They ain't got enough of them. Whatever. How about let's praise the Lord and say, man, Lord, glory to God. Lord, you broke this register down today so that I have another extra minute to pray and thank you for all that you've given me. Lord, you've allowed this cashier to have trouble with her machine that I could tell her, don't worry about it. God's good. It'll all come to about. It'll be all right. How many of you know it's time for the church to rise up and quit following the world and doing all of what they do, and let's rise up above the stuff. Above the stuff. Say above the stuff. And do what God called us to do. You might have to go to Walmart today for a specific reason. Oh, you thought it was to get eggs and milk. But it's not. What are we doing with what God gave us? Have we invested into the kingdom of God? Will we invest? What are we praying for? Direction, insight, God's will, not our will, be done. Oh my goodness. Now I got the next three pages about Elijah, but I'm not going to get there. Only thing I'm going to tell you is this. Elijah went up on a mountain at the end of the story, of this story, not Elijah's story, but at the end of this story. Elijah went up on a mountain and prayed, and he put his knees, head between his knees, and he prayed earnestly that the Lord would send the rain. Are you looking for the rain? Did you know that Elijah was a man after our own heart, and he seriously prayed? And guess what? He sent the servant out there to look over the sea, and he said, "What do you see?" "I don't see nothing." Too many of us have seen nothing over our prayers that we have prayed. Elijah went back. He prayed again. "Go see what you see." Elijah, his servant, ran out there and he looked over to see. "I still don't see nothing." Have you prayed more than once for something and you still haven't seen it in your life? Come on, is that you? Third time, same thing. Fourth time, same thing. How many of you prayed over five times already? How many of you prayed six times? I don't know how many it's going to take, but in this case, the seventh prayer, after the seventh time he prayed, he sent the servant out and he says, "What do you see?" "Man, all I see is a little bit." You're praying for $1 million to come into your bank account and you just got somebody gave you a dollar. And you went, "Thank you, God." He might start you off with a little bit. He might start you off with a little cloud that looks like a man's hand way over the sea. Have you watched God's provision coming and you walked away from it because it wasn't big enough for you? Have you watched God's provision coming into your life and because it wasn't what you was expecting, you started complaining? Don't say, "Oh, me." Do you realize that God is starting something today? He's starting something today. Say today. How many of y'all ready for a great year coming? Oh, if I sat here and said, "Oh, this year was terrible. It was one of how many of you had a bad year?" Probably everybody in here raising your hand. "Oh, it was terrible. I had this. I had this problem. I had that problem. I had." That was faking, in case you. It's gone. Go out there and start looking. Say, "Go look. Go look." Tell somebody next to you, "Go look." Because God's provision is coming. And when you see the dollar bill come, pick it up and put it in your pocket and thank the Lord and say, "More's coming." Hallelujah. That's the beginning of what God has in store for me. Now, I know there's about a dozen of you right now. When I'm talking money, y'all going, "Hallelujah, I'm going to be a millionaire next year." And you're getting all excited. I'm not talking about money. I'm using that as an analogy. I'm hoping that you catch a glimpse of what I'm truly saying. That when you do God's will and you hear his voice and you follow him, say, "Following." Can you just say, You know what that means? Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, you need to start learning how to moan in the spirit. You need to start just giving him glory. Oh, God. You're so good to me. Say, "You're good to me, Lord. You're good to me, Lord." Come on, say it with me. "Oh, Lord, you're good to me. You're so good to me, Lord." See, you got to start singing those praises. You're going to have to because it's coming. If you know your gifts, your talents, your abilities from God, your his will's coming for your life, stand to your feet with me real quick and say, "Oh, God. Woo, God. Come on, Holy Spirit." Oh, let's put a little feet to it. Step out your steps, pews, and come on down here to the front because God wants to stir you. He wants to, you got to put actions to it. You're going to have to step out. Say, "Step out." You're going to have to go get it. God said, "Here it is. You want it? Come get it." Say, "Come get it." You're going to sit back and wait for God to bring it to you. You're going to be waiting because he wants to use you. He wants to use you. Will you be used? I done scratched up that throat real good today. Y'all step, come on in closer there. Y'all, they can't get in behind you. Come on, somebody say, Oh, God. All right, reach out and grab somebody's shoulder next to you. Hallelujah. Say, Oh, God. Oh, God. Come on, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Stir me, Lord. Let me get into you, God. Y'all a bunch of Jesus freaks. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you this morning to pour out that fresh anointing, your Holy Spirit anointing. Where there needs to be healing take place, God. Let there be healing take place. Raise your hand real high if you need some healing in your body. Say, Lord, heal me. Jesus, we need healing in these bodies this morning, Lord. Your word says, oh God, to come to the elders and ask, Lord, for the prayer of faith. We asking this morning for fair prayer of faith to be healed, oh God. Let me be healed. Say, let me be healed. If you need prosperity in your life, you're struggling financially, God says, I'm ready to loose you. I'm ready to loose you, but guess what? There's a dollar bill on the floor. You're going to pick it up or you're going to walk by it and say, that ain't enough. Oh, pick up what God gave you. Pick it up what God gave you. If he gave you talent and abilities, if he gave you the ability to make money, go make some money. If you got the ability to help somebody else, go help somebody else. Hallelujah. Your provision, oh God. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, the world will say, you ain't got it. You ain't got enough. But you can just say, Oh, Lord, you got it. Lord, you own all the cattle on 1,000 fields, Lord. You have what we need, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision. Thank you for what you have done, oh God. Father, if we need relationships repaired, say, Oh, Jesus, you see, oh God, broken relationships, number one with you. Lord, restore that relationship with Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit and stir your body, oh God, that this year we will walk in newness of life. This year, Lord, we won't have all the excuses of why we can't. But Lord, we will know that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Come right now, Lord. Oh, if you know God's going to use you this year to reach into some of your relationships, to give you favor, to give you influence. God's given some folks right now influence in some people in your life. He's going to give you influence if you'll seek his word and his direction. Don't try to think of what you're going to say, but find out what God's going to say. He wants to give you influence. Say influence. Oh, there's a few people that you've already pictured, a few people in your mind that you've been praying for, that you see that God wants to bring into the house of God. I don't mean word of faith. I meant the body of Christ. He wants to bring some folks home. And if you'll just start being obedient, if we'll start following his calling, we'll reach out past our comfort zone and we'll say, you know, God loves you. And let me tell you what he's done for me. Oh, let me tell you what he's done for me. He healed me. Oh, he saved me. Oh, he cleansed my mind. Oh, he brought me around just in time. Now I'm going to praise his name. And I'm going to celebrate. And I'm going to tell everybody I can. Oh, you want some of this? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He's more than the reason for the season. He's the answer for the body of Christ. He's the answer for the world. He came into the world that the world would know him. He wishes that none would not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would we be used by Jesus? Would we be used by God? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to give us discernment of spirit? And when he says, hey, you need to speak up, will we speak up or will we just keep silent and say, I don't want them to think I'm a Jesus freak? We already know you are, so it's past that. You came up here this morning, we know. You're a child of God. You have decided to follow Jesus. Now let's go out there and proclaim him. Let's be the witness. Let's go out and do what he's called us to do. Oh, I just don't know what my calling is, brother. His calling is for you to go out and be a witness, in case you didn't know. And if you've never, I just can't figure out what God wants me to do. He wants you to be a witness to your mama, to your daddy, to your brothers, to your sisters, to your cousins, to your aunts, to your uncles, to your friends, to your neighbors. Uh-oh, neighbors, I don't like that guy. Yeah, that's the one you're going to have to work with first then. Because first of all, we got to get that spirit out of you. Ha ha. Uh-huh, you see? And maybe that's what God's saying. He goes, I got a spirit that's inside of you that I'm working out. How many of you know he's working out some stuff? Woo! Say woo! Woo! Man, y'all are Jesus freaks. Listen. Father, we thank you for a wonderful church. We thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for folks that are willing and ready to run after you this year with all of their heart, mind, and soul. They're not going to grow weary in doing good, but they're going to strengthen themselves in the Lord. They're not going to look around, oh, brother, can you pray for me? Oh, brother. They're going to say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are my Father. You are my rock. And Lord, I need encouragement right now. The Word tells us to stir up the Spirit within us. The Word tells us to encourage yourself in the Lord. Learn that you're not going to be waiting on somebody else to stir you, but you're going to run after God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Let me stop and pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed. Have a great day. Next week, we got the program.